As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Deanne Smith, Executive Director, United Methodist Open Door. Welcome to Issues 2022.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be with you.
In fact, I believe this is probably the last one of the year for the year.
So. Well, Happy New Year.
Yeah, coming up. Open Door started out as Urban Ministries, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
And when was that? And how did the creation of this organization come about?
Yeah, so in 1965, there are clergy and laity from the United Methodist Church that were concerned about poverty issues and inner city issues, and of course some of that was civil rights issues, and so they were doing advocacy and those kinds of things, and it eventually kind of grew into, oh, we need to meet some of the poverty needs and social service kind of things. 1967, they incorporated, and it is history after that. We have had so many different programs come and go. One of ours that I'm proud of is that used to be the United Methodist Health Clinic is now Grace Med, out on its own and doing fantastic work. And there are others like that.
Yeah, Grace Med is basically for people who can't afford to have health insurance, right?
It's one of our federally qualified health clinics. And. Yeah. Has homeless grant as well, federal homeless grant that way. So, yeah, they're doing great work in the communities, and in a lot of communities, there's several different locations, as well as in other parts of Kansas.
Now, do you have a mission statement for Open Door?
Yeah, we're about, first and foremost, providing basic needs, but wherever possible, taking the next steps to create positive life changes. But at the base is protecting hope and dignity.
Yeah, and where's your facility or facilities?
Yeah, we have two facilities. So we have one at 21st and Grove area that is our food distribution center that is the largest food pantry in the area, open Monday through Friday. And then we also in that location have a elder food box, the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, that we serve for 11 counties in South Central Kansas to folks who are 60 and above.
Oh, I wasn't aware that you were the largest there.
Yes,
now,
yes.
Now, are your programs and services, you're not limited just to Wichita, right?
No, such as in the case of the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, we do 11 counties in South Central Kansas through partnerships. We do the administrative, and we may take the food to those counties, but then local churches or organizations get that and distribute those. We also do home visits. Home deliveries, about 350 to 400 people a month who can't get out to get that food.
How many employees do you have?
Oh, that's a good question. Depending with the employee issue, staffing issues we have these days, along with everybody else, right now we have 17 with 4 positions open.
4 of them are open now.
Uh-huh. At the moment.
And how has it been? Have you had a lot of turnover? Have you had success in finding people? How's that gone?
You know, COVID was an interesting time for all of us, right? So We had some struggles with that and even had to hire some temporary to keep some of our programs open. But with that also meant some left us. We had one program that actually even closed because we couldn't get the folks enrolled to serve one of our homeless prevention programs. And so it comes and goes, ebbs and flows, just like everybody else, but it always costs more to get somebody aboard.
I'll bet you have some volunteers, though.
We do. We have about 100 to 150 volunteers a week through our doors.
Yeah.
And still needing more. Many of those are just now starting to come back with COVID and the new normal with that. And so people are starting to wander back in, but we are desperately in need of more volunteers.
You know, doing this show every week and talking to folks like you and people who are involved in the community and doing good works, there are a lot of people volunteering in this town. A lot of people.
There are. We've got a community that has a heart for the needs. So yeah. If they know a need, they're going to reach out and address it. So, and one of those is to give of time. So whether it's a group that just a one-time kind of thing, of building boxes or somebody who wants on a regular basis to come in, which is what we really need the most, we would just love to have people.
How many lives do you think you touch in a year's time?
So last year we unduplicated individuals, 21,300, a little over 300, 21,307 to be precise. So we touch a lot of individuals, and many of those last year were COVID-related who hadn't been in lines before.
How does that compare to other years, you know? Have you been able to track that?
Well, we're down actually a little bit last year, and that's because some of our capacity issues with COVID. We couldn't serve as many people because we had to limit space.
Do you obtain any funding from sources other than the Methodist Church?
Oh, absolutely. Only probably about 2% of our budget actually comes from the United Methodist Church as a whole.
Well, they got the branding rights.
Yes, they do have the branding rights because they started us. And I'm clergy in United Methodist Church, so I love my church. But the funding side of it comes from all over. And so we have other churches that give generously to us. Our second largest is a Lutheran church.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't matter. We go across all those
kind of non-denominational.
All those lines. It just whoever wants to join us in making a difference, we're happy to do that. But we also then get from United Way funding some fewer programs and some federal contracts and grants and then a wide variety of philanthropy.
In November, you completed your annual turkey drive.
Yeah.
I assume that's not really where you get a bunch of turkeys and drive them down the street. This is...
Oh, well, that would be pretty exciting. Let's see if
like
we can't... I don't think that would... Yeah.
What is the turkey drive? And
so the turkey...
What did you accomplish with that?
Yeah. So the turkey drive is our annual big, huge event. And we partner... our largest partner is with USD 259. And so people collect food and money, and then buy turkeys, frozen turkeys at that, and then bring them to us, and we distribute then the 3 days before Thanksgiving. And this year it was over 2,300 individuals.
Wow.
Well, households, not individuals, but 2,300 households.
How many years have you done the turkey drive?
Oh.
No, you don't know?
23, I think this is the...
23?
This was our 23rd. Anniversary.
Well, now, I understand that Open Door operates several programs. We've got to try to talk about each today if we can.
Sure.
But let's begin with food. I think you already have. What should we know about food and hunger in this area?
You know, it's important to know that there are a lot of folks who are what we call food insecure. And that means that they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so most of those families, if they've got kids, those are the ones that are... It's very important to have free school lunches and those kinds of things. And we see an increase during the summer when those kids aren't in school and have that the parents are having or guardians are having to come to us even more. So we have a program in which people can come once per month, 130% of poverty guideline, and we're just happy to serve. We're open the most Monday through Friday from basically 9 to 4 with taking lunch break for shift change.
Okay, and you said people have to qualify for that in some way?
They do, but of course, because unfortunately, we don't have the resources to serve anybody and everybody who comes through. Now, having said that, if people have medical bills, you know, we're going to look at that kind of thing, extraordinary bills that may have caused them to have a rough moment, but normally wouldn't. We're gonna look at that. We're a ministry, after all.
And they come to you to get the food, or you?
No, they come to us to get the food for the for the regular community food ministry.
Okay.
Yes. Unfortunately, we can't deliver.
Okay. And then you're talking about some school feeding for the kids then too, huh?
Yeah. So that's an important piece of our partnerships with schools and the feeding summer feeding programs and those kinds of things. And then our other food program is the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, which is our elder food box that we do for 11 counties that we talked about.
Okay. Now, you're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Deanne Smith, Executive Director, United Methodist Open Door. I understand you have a clothing mission.
We do.
How important is clothing to those who are struggling to get by?
It's pretty important. Especially,
I know you got to wear some, but...
Yeah, you have to wear some. And you have to wear some in order to go to school, and you have to wear some in order to get a job, and you have to wear some in order to be presentable at that job. So it really is a key ministry of ours, and we don't charge anything for those. And so a lot of donors like that as well. There's plenty of clothes in the world. It's a matter of how we get them distributed. And so we have the clothes closet spelled with K's, and the volunteers lovingly call it the KK Boutique.
The KK Boutique.
Uh-huh.
Where's that located?
That is at our downtown location at 402 East 2nd Street North.
And where do you get the clothing? Just
people
donations? Just
donating to us. We have some great retailers who bring us those that returns or they can't sell or so forth, like... Shout out to the Boot Barn.
Boot Barn, I've often wondered about that.
Yeah, they bring us boots and jeans and lots of other things.
Wow.
And so they bring a truck and some folks and unload those. And so, yeah, there are places like that kind of recycle, so say returns or other overages.
Well, this week we've had a little taste of what winter can be like in South Central Kansas. Have you got enough... heavy coats? Have you got enough scarves? Have you got enough gloves?
Never enough.
Never enough.
Because the other piece that we have over on is a homeless day center. And so, you know, we're constantly trying to keep them warm enough to where they're not going to suffer.
Do you have a shelter program for the homeless center, right?
We do have a day shelter for
the
homeless.
A day shelter.
So we don't have an overnight. It's not bed shelter, but it's a day shelter. And it's designed specifically for those who have to leave overnight shelters during the day, or who do not go into shelters for various reasons. And there are people who do that. We have over 64% of our folks who have mental health and substance, mental health, and then another 40% that have substance use. And, you know, they're not necessarily thinking very clearly.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're not making good decisions about whether or not they should go into a shelter, or they can't because of anxiety disorders and too many people. It just, they can't. So we've got to make sure that those folks have.
Do you recall the number of homeless in that last count? They do a count every year.
They do a point in time count.
Point in time,
which means a snapshot of one day.
Yeah.
And there are, I think, 630 some this year to kind of give you a feel for our year round. Last year we served almost 1,600 unduplicated individuals in our day center, mm-hmm. and we serve most of single men and women or couples. But so those aren't children and those kinds of things.
I was going to say, one of the things that I've been talking about homelessness for several years, and, you know, one of the things that has struck me is that among the homeless, there are children. And
there are children.
I don't know how many there are, but there are children out there and have no place to live.
That's right. And we get calls about families who are staying in their cars and it's starting to get cold and what do we do? And it's too expensive to run the heater. So trying to encourage them to find safe spaces. And there's a myth out there that if, you know, the families are homeless, they're going to get have their kids taken away. And that's not necessarily the case. We just want to make sure that the kids are taken care of. And if you're doing what you need to do in order to properly take care of them, then that's not going to happen. More domestic violence, folks fleeing, and of course they come with their kids as well. So that's always a challenge.
Well, can you share one or two stories about people you have helped without using any names, of course?
Actually, you know, we just yesterday, one of our churches adopted our family rapidary housing programs, and that is clients. And those are families who are coming from shelters or domestic fleeing, domestic violence, living on the streets. And so they adopted those families, which we usually have about 26 at any point in time. And one of the women was thanking the church members for their gifts, and she told them their story. She fled from domestic violence, tried several times to flee, and was not successful. And finally, this last time, she got away and got to a safe spot. And with her kids, luckily she has a degree, so she's able to be a substitute teacher in the city. Mm-hmm. And so she's been doing that. She's had a little bit of health concerns and working a few jobs to try to get back on her feet and get the kids back in place. So that's just one story, and there are many like her that we help. There's also those that we see in the day center. Like I said, a lot of them are mentally ill. And so it's a matter of us just trying to keep them well. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a woman in the shelter that people thought first was a seizure, and it was an overdose. And we were very fortunate that Hunter Health was with us.
Okay.
They had the Narcan, which is the reversal drug.
Yeah, for fentanyl.
And for fentanyl and overdose, and laced with fentanyl these days. And so it took three doses of Narcan to get her back.
Mm.
And, you know, we just have to keep working with those folks to get them to say yes to the services to be well. And so we looked at that thankfully she was with us, and she was up and able to move and able to have some conversations about, are you ready to go get help?
And you mentioned domestic violence, which is an ongoing program.
Yeah.
How big an impact does that have on all overall work that you're doing then?
Well, we're not a domestic violence specialist,
no.
You know, so I can't give you all of those really wonderful statistics that some of my colleagues who do that very well could give. But we do have encounters with folks with domestic violence, particularly with our family rapid rehousing program. We get those referrals. They need rental assistance and supportive services, and we make sure that they get connected with one of our partner agencies to do the counseling and so forth. But we I think at this point we have four families that we have helped with rental assistance that are currently in the program.
Can you share another story with us? We got some time here.
Yeah. So. Excuse me.
Yep.
One of the other folks that we have served, and I've just been having conversations with him, was somebody who'd been in our day shelter for a lot of years, and we kept asking him, and he volunteered for us doing laundry and those kinds of things, and kept asking him, you know, we need to get you into housing. Let's talk to you about housing. Let's talk to some people. And he just kept saying, oh, somebody else deserves that more than me. And so we kept having that conversation, and finally there was one night that he was going to sleep outside, and it was really cold. And I said, I'm going to worry about you. You're going to worry about me? He said, you've got so many other things to do. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to worry about you. And from that, along with other people in the community having the same kind of conversations, we started having conversations about getting him housing. So he is now housed, and he has gone to back to school, graduated from WSU Tech.
Really?
Working. Uh-huh. So sometimes I just don't think, because of mistakes they made in their background, that they're worthy. And so they think that somebody else deserves it more, and they're just going to keep doing. And, you know, there's something, we are creatures of habit. And so it's comfortable once they get in kind of a routine, and it's less stress in that way. You know, you think, gosh, being homeless is stressful enough, but there's a level of stress. And so it's trying to get them to take the next step for positive.
Well, I must admit, I look at the homeless people and I think, oh, that's sad and all that, but there's no future. Can they ever get it back together? And apparently, you're having some success now and then, at least.
Yeah, there it is.
That helps.
I hear a lot. You know, well, why don't they just go get a job and those kinds of things?
Yeah.
And with the population that we serve, that stand on a corner and talk to themselves, you know, or yell at somebody else because of that's not there.
Right.
I've been known to kind of pretend to hold on to somebody that's there so that they can feel safe. Well, I'll take care of them while you go do.
Hmm.
You know, that's kind of the stuff that's pretty hard for somebody to get a job. So we take one step at a time. We meet people where they are and see what the next step is that we can get them. And above all, we want to get them housing.
Does Open Door have any fundraising events?
So throughout the year, we have various times in which we ask for donations, just like everybody else. And then our turkey drive is our biggest event. And we've had some fundraising come and go, but we're really working on some higher level givers and the Giving Hope Society at a $1,000 level or more to try to nurture those one-on-one. And we're looking at other ways in which a lot of times fundraisers, unless you're a Zubilee or Winefest or whatever, you know, it's more friendraisers because you use a lot of resources to but don't necessarily make a whole lot, right? So those are more introductory things of getting friends and then nurturing those.
I want to talk about you for just a minute. Where are you from? How did you come to this?
To this thing?
Yeah.
So I'm originally from Oklahoma, and I'm clergy. I met my husband in grad school, and he brought me back to Kansas. I did my internship at then Urban Ministry in 1991 during grad school, and then went back and finished school, and then came back and started serving churches here in town, and got on the board of directors of then Urban Ministry, and then in 2001, I became the executive director.
What are the biggest challenges you face at Open Door?
Well, the one right now is getting access for mental health and substance abuse treatment. The Mental Health Association did a nationwide report just released about a month ago for 2023, and Kansas ranks 51 out of 51 for a mental health prevalence and access to care.
Really? So we're at the bottom.
We're at the very bottom. Isn't that something to be proud of?
Well, you know, we talk about this. Mm-hmm.
We
talk about it with the sheriff, the jail people. And
that's right.
And nothing happens in Topeka.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. But we're starting to see a little bit of movement. But we'll see what happens. But that is the number one thing, because many of the folks that we serve have that, and those are the ones you see downtown. It's not all the homeless. You know, people go, we need to do something about these homeless people. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the ones that are the hardest to serve to get it. And legally, we have to get people to say yes to those services. They have to have that lucid moment. And so when I get a lucid moment and say, are you ready today to get help, then it might be 2 weeks to a month before I can get them an appointment, unless they're in a crisis. And so
the things that we've been doing downtown in Wichita with the new medical school and all this and that, very encouraging. But there's this big gap there. We got to do something.
Yeah, we recently had somebody come in from New Jersey that her community did what we call a functional zero to end chronic homeless, which is one in, one out, basically. And, you know, she made a point. You can revitalize downtown, but you've got to end homelessness in order to do that. And meaning that there's always going to be homeless around, but that's that one in. Do we have the resources to get people when they fall on those hard times or they have a crisis, that we can get them immediately back into housing? And so I think there's the will to do something. It's just how do we do about it, go about doing it. And there's a lot of plans out there.
Well, we want to thank you for the work you're doing. It's not, you know, government can't solve everything.
Nope.
But sometimes it can help quite a bit.
It's a good part. It takes a good partner, private and public partnership to make it work.
There you go. Hey, thanks for being with us again, and best to you coming up in the new year. Our guest is Deanne Smith, Executive Director, United Methodist Open Door. And that is all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week in the brand new year. Hey, how about that? Thanks for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.